or evening, wherever you are. Welcome to our journey on encouragement. For those of you that are encouraged by the wonder of creation, behind me, I'm hoping, is a picture of the green comet that made a flyby Earth recently. Encourage, strengthen, build up. Boy, do we need encouragement. And it's such a gift, isn't it, to be able to encourage. I doubt you'd find a clearer purpose in the New Testament than Paul's letters to strengthen each other, build each other up. Grace and peace be upon you. Yours sincerely, Paul. Covers quite a few of them. When Jesus is in the garden in Gethsemane, agonizing in prayer, Luke has it that an angel is sent to him to encourage and we need angels of strength and encouragement. And we need to be angels of strength and encouragement. And yet, it's not always an easy thing, this encouragement thing, is it? Sometimes, with care and patience, as Paul tells Timothy, Lord, help us to be better encouragers. Unc and I were encouraged yesterday at the marriage of our niece. It's always an encouragement to go to a wedding. So when I got the news in the dim and distant 1980s that I'd been accepted into optometry school, I remember my dad was in Wellington with some conference at the time. And he sent me a card with a picture of Kermit the Frog with a graduation cap on. And the words, well done, congratulations. And I remember being surprised somehow. And why was I surprised? I think perhaps it suddenly hit me that my father was more interested and invested in me than I had imagined. And perhaps more than he'd voiced aloud. Because as fathers, we're not always as vocal with our praise and encouragement as we think we are. Right, Daniel? A lot of things just stay in our head and never quite make it to our mouths. As fathers, as mothers, a lot of things make it to our mouths, perhaps. Most of them encouraging. But what's it like for you, I wonder? What do you find encouraging? Where do you look for encouragement? It's often said that we spend a lot of our adult lives living out our childhood. And I'm aware that we might approach encouragement with quite different experiences. For some of us, perhaps our parents just weren't there. They were physically or they were emotionally absent. Or perhaps they were more critical than encouraging. Or perhaps we just never sensed that they were present and invested in our future. Or maybe your parents are and were great encouragers. So our history is quite different. And no doubt there's some hurt and disappointment that we carry as injuries. And that might make us struggle to accept encouragement as well as to give encouragement. So the good news is that the Lord is present with us and invested in our future. He's vocal about encouragement and love. Come to me, all you who are heavily laden. I am the way, the truth, and life. I come to give you life abundantly. But he's also a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as the Old Testament has it. Because we're in a fallen world, and we're in a world of suffering and difficulty. And that's when we need encouragement and building up. We don't need platitudes or mantras. It's no good saying, be warm. You should give them a coat, as the New Testament puts it. So I want to talk about three things that I find encouraging. No doubt you'll have your own. Then I'm going to explore the conversation between Jesus and the woman at the well. And I'm going to offer a couple of practical suggestions. And I'm going to close with some poetic inspiration. So the first encouraging thing is your presence. Be present with someone. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be there and be real. We've got a great radar, aren't we? It's just sensitive whether someone's actually really there with us or they're just paying lip service. We're so wired with this need to be connected to others, to belong. And we need to feel that we can contribute and that we are contributing to our community, our relationships. Because when relationships break down, whether they're church, friends, marriage, that's what gets killed off, isn't it, is the solidarity of presence. Our likes and our dislikes, our events, they've overcome our presence with each other. What's the term going around at the moment? I think quiet quitting. Just going through the motions. Checking out. Not really there. So if we find ourselves a bit checked out in our vital relationships, perhaps we need to think about that, about our presence, what's getting in the way. What needs to change? Lord, help us to be better encouragers. Second encouraging thing, widen your world. Widen your world. Live as if the marvelous is just below the surface, because it is. Remember, I am with you always, Jesus says. Because there is actually a wonderful connectedness to things. And as Christians, we can really be attuned to that, I think. Nourish your imagination. Look for creativity and grace. Attend to the world for inspired collisions. Because in the New Testament, there's this constant theme of growing up, of moving from milk to solid food, of growth and widening. Even if our journey is full of lurching steps and retracings, we're encouraged to grow and learn. Because we face a danger, our own danger in church, of a narrowing of our Christian world, of being sucked into inside-outside thinking. I don't think that's helpful for anybody. I think we need to open our eyes to the lessons that we can learn from humanity. As Peter said a couple of weeks ago, people are astonishing, or can be astonishing. They're made in the image of God. And I came across things from humanity in the last week or two. A couple of reminders that disappearance reminds us to notice. Someone is no longer engaging with us, no longer talking. This reminds us to notice, to pay attention. Transience reminds us to cherish. We care for life because it's short. We're like grass that withers and dies, as the Old Testament puts it. Life is short, so cherish it. And fragility reminds us to defend. Take care of the most vulnerable. As Paul puts it, we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, and be patient with everyone. Widen your world. Third encouragement, don't be afraid of failure. Failure is normal. Failure happens when you do something. The true failure is to do nothing. And to live in a fear of failure can be very paralyzing. Failure is how you learn and how you improve. Cast your bread on the waters, says Ecclesiastes, for after many days it will return to you. Don't give up. It's okay to fail. Who knows what wonderful outcomes Jesus is able to make of our failures? Be ready to learn. Be ready to fail. Don't give up. Three things. Be present. Widen your world. And don't be afraid to fail. So it's time for the woman at the well and Jesus, a rich conversation between a tired Jesus and a nameless Samaritan woman. If you want to follow along, it's in John chapter 4. And there always seems something new to discover when we look at this encounter. I'm going to set the scene with a little short video clip, and then I'm going to read just the conversation part of the passage. See if this works. "Will you give me a drink? You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Go and call your husband and come back." "I have no husband." "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. I know that Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. I, the one speaking to you, I am he." And just then, the disciples returned, and they were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with him?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So let's see if we can find those three things I was talking about in this passage and find encouragement and action. So the first is presence. She's noticed. She has Jesus' undivided attention. And we too have Jesus' undivided attention through the Holy Spirit. Across the cultural barriers, this Jewish man has noticed her and asked her for a drink. And by the end of the conversation, we know the encounter has reached such an intensity that the disciples dare not interrupt. It's an important and a vital meeting of two people being real with each other. Her world is widened. She's invited to imagine a world beyond her cultural norms, a world more marvelous than what she's known so far. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Are you greater than that? Are you greater than my world? And yes, the world is bigger than Jacob and bigger than the cultural norms she's inherited, and so much bigger than our own cultural norms, and so much bigger than our own expectations. And then the challenge. Go fetch your husband. I have no husband, she replies. We're back into presence, back into the real, because this is where we are. For us to have hope in our lives, we have to acknowledge where we are, because we always start from here. We would like to start from somewhere else. I'd like to start from somewhere else, but we have to start from here. And she acknowledges, yep, this is me. Yep, this history of multiple men in my life, yep, this is me. What can I hope for? And I think she's surprised by her own hope here, because she realizes it and expresses it at the same time. I know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And I think deep under that, is her question. Is he the one, this man I'm talking to, this man who asked me for a drink, is he the one? Could he be the Messiah? And of course, yes, he is. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Don't be afraid to fail. They came out of the town, and as we know, some of them believed and some of them didn't. Some of them said specifically to her, we believe because we've seen him, not because what you told us. But she was not afraid to fail. She was connected and connecting. And you know, the ripples from her actions are still spreading across the ages, right to us and beyond. I doubt as she walked up the hill to get water that day, she would imagine that she's about to have a conversation, which we're talking about thousands of years later. Don't be afraid to fail. So I invite you to do your own explorations of encouragement. Two practical ideas for you. I know from me, a poet, it's pretty silly, but we're trying to be more real. I am preaching to myself here. But, do something new this year. Read more widely. Join a new group. Take up the tango. Just do something new and see what ripples emerge. And invest in someone. Deepen a friendship or start a new one. Cast your bread on the waters and don't be afraid to fail. Don't tell someone you're investing in them. Just do it. And don't give them your checked out self, but give them your real self. Jesus' parting gifts that closed the Gospels and opened them to the world. Jesus' parting gifts, what were they? To reconcile with Peter. To answer the doubts of Thomas. To give the disciples fish and share breakfast with them on the beach at dawn. And to promise he'll always be with us. Parting gifts to us, to reconcile, to answer our doubts, to provide for us, and to promise to be with us. So I promised I'd end with some poetic inspiration. Now I want to close with two final thoughts. This is from a poem by Liesl Müller called Alive Together. And this is how she opens her poem. Speaking of marvels, I am alive together with you when I might have been alive with anyone under the sun. It's a thought I have often. It's just us. Out of all the history we could have been in, it's us, our family, our fellowship, our friends, our workmates, where we are. It's just us. This is where we find and give love and encouragement with our one another, both within church and beyond it. Encourage, strengthen, build up is the guideline to the speech that we have. Paul reminds us, whatever you say, make sure you're encouraging. And from me, in a poem I haven't quite finished yet, just as things were looking so very secular, suddenly they were sacred. Yeah, what do I mean? I had to think about it a lot. There can be a trap to fall into when we think about everything Christian, but especially help one another, love each other, encourage each other, all these one another's that we've been looking at. It can be a trap of thinking, well, these are just good things and we can somehow decant a Christian content out of them, like a still, you know, we'll just boil it up and some Christianese will evaporate out the top. And I believe that's a completely wrong way to think. It's really upside down, because these things, loving, helping, and encouragement, these are the things that Christ has laid the bedrock of our lives on and creation on. You know, our world certainly is fallen into darkness, but there is the marvelous that Jesus has done for us, and it lives just below the surface. And all the things that the world thinks it finds as these helpful things, they're all based on this love of Christ and this way of being. So what if we spent this year encouraging one another? Lord, thank you for being with us, for your presence. Thank you for taking our world and making it so much bigger, and finding that you are there giving us your undivided attention. Lord, we thank you that it's just us, and that you are here to help us encourage each other, to build each other up, and strengthen each other. Amen. Okay, let me bless you and send you out for a cup of tea or coffee and into fellowship. I'm going to read a very short verse from 2 Corinthians. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with us. Amen. Have a great day.